Hallelujah. Amen. We give God praise. Father, we are thankful that this day we know who we are. We are established in your love, fulfilled because of the workings of grace. Mercy has been extended to us, and we are raised up, O God, with your right hand of righteousness. And Lord, O God, tonight, we present ourselves, O God, at this summit before you to hear what you have to say to us. And not only to hear, but to ask, O God, for your help to walk uprightly, to walk in purity, to walk, O God, as we ought, magnifying you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, no pretense, just plain open unto our God. Thank you, Father, that you help us now. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you. You may be seated. In a sense, this is the eighth day of our gathering together, but in another sense, it's the ninth. Because we started this journey on the 31st day of 2021. We crossed over with the Word of God, and we're continuing giving this month as our first fruit unto the Lord. And that is very crucial, because there is a blessing with the first fruit. This is determining, in real terms, what kind of a year we're going to have. We know, we do know, that in the world there is going to be tribulation. But the Word of God says, be of good cheer, I have overcome. He's overcome for us. In the midst of the crisis that is coming and is going to continue in our world, God is saying to us as his people, I have a place of safety for you. I have a place of safety for you. The things I've been hearing from the Lord have not been funny. If you remember, I did say that this year was going to be a year of harvest. And when I talked about that harvest, I talked about it in two ways, good harvest and bad harvest. I think as a church, we need to brace ourselves. I'm not talking about just us as a local church, but as the body of Christ. I wasn't planning on going in this direction at all tonight. But we need to brace ourselves, because we are going to lose some very important people that are going to be harvested from us. I'm not talking about lightweights. I'm talking about very, very important. It started a few years ago. But 2022 is going to be a year that the body is going to reel. I don't know if you remember me saying this before, maybe about two or so months back, maybe longer. I said, the Lord said to me that we're going to come to a time when, excuse me, when the living are going to envy the dead. Do you remember me saying that? This year is that kind of a year. The envy is going to come because of two things: whether we're walking in faith or not. If you're walking in faith and by love, you're going to cut through the darkness, and it will not affect you. But if you're not walking in the integrity of faith, when these things begin to happen, you're going to envy the dead. I wish I was dead so I don't have to see this. No, you have the capacity in God to go through whatever it is that's happening in our world. And the Word of God tells us, if you remember, one of the things that the Lord settled within our spirit was this: that we must not embrace offenses. Do you remember that word? Okay. The difference is going to be whether we operate in an atmosphere of offense. And I speak especially to leaders right now, pastors, bishops, apostles, leaders in the body of Christ. The people are going to do things that will want you to get offended. But don't step into that place of offense. Because to step there is going to generate great pain. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians 5 and 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." So whether you're circumcised or you're not circumcised, it doesn't matter. But what matters? But faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. So it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not a Christian. When it hits the fan, it affects everybody. And the difference is going to be whether you're walking in love. Because it is love that makes your faith work. Somebody listening, please hear what I'm saying to you. And anything that's going to cause me not to walk in love, I must do everything to stop. I must stop it. I cannot allow anybody or anything to bring me to a place where I am not operating in the purity of love, because that's what's going to make my faith work. When you have God's kind of faith, Mark 11 says, or put in the exact wordings of King James, have faith in God. Or have God's kind of faith. You will say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." "And be thou cast into the sea." If you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you are saying, it shall come to pass. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, continues to say, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But look at the next verse. Wherefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. I'm telling you about the faith that's going to move mountains, but I'm telling you also that when you believe that you're going to receive it, you're going to have it. But if you're doing that, when you're standing before God, forgive. In other words, don't take offense. Forgive if you have any reason to be angry at anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. I know the importance of faith. Paul tells us a great deal about the walk of faith. In Hebrews 5, beginning to read from verse 5, I'm jumping in the center of this particular passage. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. He was not pursuing anything. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And this is the thing. Watch this. This is important. If you're pursuing position, you are out of line. Jesus, our Lord, had the right to be, but he's an example, our example. And it says again in verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But what did he do? But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. God positioned him. 6. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was held in that he feared or reverenced, though he, Jesus, was and is a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience. You say, Pastor, are we still on the subject of partnership? Yeah. Because the servant is not greater than his master. And the Lord has created a pattern for us. Notice that statement. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience is key to manifesting the glory of God. And the challenge that we face like never before is the challenge of obedience. I'm reminded about what the woman of God said last night. She said, "You're going full circle." And the growth that you experience in the beginning, that trajectory, is to be released. And when we started this church, this work, the trajectory of growth was amazing. We started with, I believe, about 15 people. In about 3-4 weeks, we were at 70-something. And God was moving us to a place, you know, where we were at 70 felt very comfortable. And may I say this, if you want comfort, you're in the wrong place in God. Because if you're going to grow, you're going to have to embrace discomfort. There is nobody who is experiencing growth. You know, they say, they call it growth pains. When a child is growing and shooting up, bones start aching. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. When your clothes don't fit, it means you're growing. And there's a lot of that. Anyhow, back to my story. The Lord asked us to move to a particular, to the gym from the multi-purpose room that felt so comfortable. In the gymnasium, we're going to be like a dot. So big. And given the instruction to do so, the person I gave the instruction to, who was supposed to help set up in the right place, said, I'm going to do it. Didn't do it. But that was not the problem. The problem is that when they did not do it, I tolerated and accepted what they did, which was to set up in the multi-purpose room rather than the gym. I had a great service, so I thought, until the service was over and I was greeting everybody and the Spirit of God spoke. He said, "Where did you have this service today?" I said, "Right in here." "Where's right in here?" "The multi-purpose room." "Is a multi-purpose room the gym? You think that something like this will be so casual? Really doesn't matter." But God was going to establish in me that day who the boss was. And if you find me sometimes rugged and stubborn about certain things, it's because of what I've learned. Not to make that mistake again. "Is a multi-purpose room the gym?" I said, "No." And for the first time in my life, I heard God yell at me, and I never want to hear that tone ever again. "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're in charge here?" Huh. I'm shaking. He said, "You see all these people? They're gone. They're gone." Wow. I took off. running into the parking lot, start grabbing people. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. God is upset with me. God is angry with me. Pray for me. We just had a good service, and you find your pastor crying out to you and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Wow. Do you know the next Sunday we dropped from 70-something to under 30. The Sunday after that, we're at 18 people. I never saw 70 people again for decades. For decades. For decades. It didn't matter what I was doing out there in the world. I might be having mass crusades, but in the house, nothing. It didn't stop the ministry. God said, I forgive you, but the consequences of your actions, you're going to see. The challenges of leadership. I and every leader must understand there is one boss over all of us. I don't get to do whatever it is I want to do whenever I want to do it because that's what I want to do. I got to hear from God. I got to listen to the instruction. And it's time to move on and to make the right decisions. Godly decisions, faithful decisions, and not allow any offenses. Jesus, our Lord, learned obedience by the things he suffered. And let's go on and let's see what he says. He says, and being made perfect, and this is what God's desired goal is, perfection. In us, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author, the beginner, the beginning, the very essence of the institution of salvation to them that obey him. So if I'm not obeying him, that phraseology, eternal salvation, is not a relevant word. God's grace doesn't sweep things under. God's grace enables us. He who is the author of eternal salvation is living inside of you and I. He's calling us to obedience. Hallelujah. Take note of that word, obedience. He learned obedience, and the people that receive his eternal salvation also have to obey him. Praise God. Verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's a pattern. He was called to the high priesthood of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek is the king, priest, high priest of Jerusalem. Nobody knew when he was born. They had no sense of beginning or ending for him. And this is the priest that Abraham brought tithes to. This is the priest that pronounced the blessing on Abraham. Blessed be Abraham. This was a unique man. Nobody knows when, how he was born. Nobody knows when he died. He just was. And God says that Jesus was called into that same pattern of high priesthood. The only thing that we know about this man is that he received tithe and the offerings. Until this day, our high priest is still, his hand is still stretched out to receive our tithes, to release the blessing. And as we obey God, the blessing of God will rest upon our lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's go further. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, saying, ye are dull of hearing. Wow. This is why I came here. It says there's many things to say, but you are dull of hearing. Your hearing is not good. That's the state of the church today. Everybody wants to do their own thing. They have their own truth, even in the church. You don't have your own truth. There is the truth of God, and all you need to do is to obey that truth. He has his standard. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say, go be a fornicator, and then come and say, I'm holy. No. It says, be holy. Be what I say. If God said, let there be light, and there was light, if God says, be ye holy, what I then must be is, I am holy because God, you have declared it over my life. I am holy. And now I walk in holiness. I know whom I am. It says, but you dull of hearing. 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, by now you should be teachers, not just students. Now you have to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such, and I become, and I become such that have need of milk, and I become. In other words, you were better than this, but now you've dropped in your grading, and now you are bottle-toting milk suckers. Supposed to be eating strong meat. The people who eat strong meat are ready to be convicted. They want to hear the truth and continue in the truth. We, if you don't know it yet, we are in the last of the last days. And the Lord is coming for a blemish-free, spot-free, wrinkle-free church. Cannot remain the same. If you peak, you start dropping. There are so many through this pandemic who've become milk suckers and not meat chewers. May that not be you. May that not be me. Hallelujah. Who are these people that are dull in hearing? When you're dull in hearing, you do not hear the rhema word of God. And therefore, you are not able to mix the word of God with faith. The next verse says, for everyone that useth milk, everyone, bar none, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Oh, he is a babe. What does that mean? Paul tells us what that means. He says, babes are carnal. Babies are carnal. And he tells us in Romans, carnal people are enemies of God. You were never born a baby when you got born again. You were born as a grown person in God. And from that place, you continue to mature. Just like Adam and Eve were not babies in some cradle in the garden, when you got born again, you were born grown. You're not born a baby. Because a carnal-minded person, the Bible says, it's an enemy of God. Why? For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, it's not subject to being obedient to the word of God. Carnal people don't obey the word of God. And they cannot obey the word of God. Because they are not led by the Spirit of God. They are not led by the word of God. They are dull in their hearing. Paul was talking to believers and saying, you're going the wrong direction. And in 2022, we cannot afford to go in the wrong direction. Let me do something here. I'm going to go to the book of Numbers, and I'm going to spend some time in the next few days as the Holy Spirit leads to talk about certain things. The Lord told me, he said, I want you to look at certain passages. And within those passages, you're going to find a summarization of everything I've been telling you that's coming in 2022 going henceforth. In Numbers 20, I'm going to pick it up from verse 1 to 22. I want you to see in this passage of scripture, certain things that the Lord has been saying to us. He says, then the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. There was no water for the congregation. They needed water. They didn't have water. They had a legitimate reason to speak up, but their attitude was wrong. We need to have an attitude check. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chowed Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." Does that sound familiar? The days when people envy the dead. We've been going through this experience already. But it is getting hardened. They said, "We wish we had died with our brethren when they died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there?" In other words, you told us certain things. God is going to do this, 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 and that. But none of it is happening. But God was in this. Verse 5. "And wherefore have ye made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place?" It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Well, you've not arrived where God said yet. Still on the path. But if God is in it, then everything should go perfectly well. Not so. Anybody who told you that lied to you. Because God is in it does not necessarily mean everything is going to go perfectly. Because God is in it means that no matter how imperfect the situation is, that your needs will be met. You say, "But Pastor, they had no water." That means your need is not met. No, their need was going to be met, because there are times when God brings you to the place where you have to cry to Him. This is not about us attacking each other. "Pastor, you said. Prophet, you said. Apostle, you said. Evangelist, you said. Teacher, this is what you taught us. It's not happening like you taught us." No, no, no. This is the time for you to go and talk to God and say, "This is what I've learned. Something is not lining up with what I've learned. But I know that your word is truth. So, Lord, I receive grace from you to go through this situation and come on the other side better than I entered." And that was one word the Lord gave to us. "You're going to come out of this better than you started." Did He not say that to us? He told us that even before we knew there was a COVID coming. He told us about what was happening and how we're going to come out on the other side better. And that we will. Hallelujah. But I want you to embrace this. Please listen. Saints, wherever you're listening to me right now, please hear this. It says, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. As they humbled themselves before God, God's glory appeared. I thank God for that. But even though God appeared to them, one thing was going to rob these two. Of their power to continue. The glory of God appeared, and the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Speak to the rock. Before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water. You mean there's water in the rock? Yeah, God says, yeah, there's water in that rock. Enough water in that rock to satisfy the needs of everybody here. There's water in that rock. Just speak to it. What was the instruction? Speak. Speak to the rock. And water is going to come out. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God was calling Moses and Aaron as a united force to partner with him. I want you to speak to that rock. And there's going to be water. Verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before as he commanded him. That's obedience. That's good. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. That's what the Father said. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Is that what God said? Why is he saying, hear now, ye rebels? Because he's offended. He is what? Offended. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? God told him what was going to come out. Must we fetch you water out of this rock, you rebels? Oh, Suki Suki. So trouble is about to hit. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. What did God say to him to do? Speak. He started a new pattern. He struck the rock twice. Bang! Bang! And the water came out abundantly. God still did that. The miracle still happened. Because a miracle happened does not mean that you're in the will of God if you did not follow the instruction of God. Struck it. Water came out, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Wow. Incredible. 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 And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not, because you believed me not, because you believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You're not going to get into the promised land, both of you. Why didn't they get in? Because they allowed offenses. And in this year, God wants us to reverse that. Our leaders must get in. We must protect each other. God says, you're not coming in because you did not believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. God, we believed you. That's why we went to the rock, you said. Yeah, you did not believe me because I said, speak to it. What I did the first time when I said, strike the rock. That was then. The message is this. We cannot live our lives in God based on past instruction, but based on present instructions. What God told me yesterday was yesterday. What God says to me now is what God says to me now. And I cannot do what God says to me now like I did yesterday. Verse 13. This is the water of Meribah, the water of bitterness, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. 14. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh. Watch this now. Watch this. It's important. Once you start the path of not following the instruction, you're going to start making more mistakes. God is saying to us, this is the year of the open door. Yeah? But the reality is that whatever it is God says, if you don't connect with God and stick with the God agenda and you try to make it happen some other way, you will be shut down and access will not be granted. This is the most precarious place for us as the body of Christ. That we keep our ears sharp, sharp. And we start and walk in total surrender and obedience to his guidance. I must help you do that, and you must help me do that. Because with God, there's no partiality. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel. He's negotiating. Thou knowest all the travail that had befallen us. Calling for pity. Our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. When we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and had brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the utmost part of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee. Did God send him that? All this while, did God ask him to negotiate with anybody? But when you have embraced offenses, your hearing becomes dull. We will not pass through the fields, through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of thy wells. We'll go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand, nor to the left, until we have passed thy borders. We're just going to go on our merry way. We're not going to disturb anything. We're just going to be just perfect gentlemen and women. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass. In other words, you don't have access. You don't have an opening. And the worst thing the church can do in this state is for us to negotiate with governments, negotiate with the systems of the world to give us an opening. The temptation is great, but no, it is not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. The iron gates are going to open of their own accord. Not because we did anything, but because God intervened and says, I'm in charge. And if there's anything we need to do right now, is to burrow down steadfastly in faith and say, God be God. God arise and let every enemy be scattered. If you think man is going to get you out of this, you're going to have a rude awakening. The king of Edom says, no. Nope, absolutely not. Well, the Supreme Court is going to do something. Forget that. God is going to do something. He's going to harvest some people out. Somebody listening, there are some people about to be harvested because they're in the way of what God wants done. And he's going to pick them out. The unfortunate thing is, it's going to happen in church and it's going to happen in the world. Edom says, no, if you try it, I'm going to come against thee with a sword. I won't fight you. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. We'll pay you. We have to have a highway. And we'll pay you. Then I'll pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. Wow. 20. And he said, thou shalt not go through. Shut doors. You're not going to go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. 21. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. They didn't give passage. They turned away. And this is a crucial point. It says, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came onto Mount Hor. And that's where we are. Came to Mount Hor, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, watch this. Aaron shall be gathered. He's going to be harvested unto his people. For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah, because you rebelled. You rebelled. Moses was busy pointing the finger at them that they rebelled, and God saying, no, you rebelled. And this is a place for us as leaders to be very careful. I have to be very careful. I have to have a fear of God to make sure that whatever it is that I'm doing in the graces of God, by the love of God, in the spirit of righteousness and truth. Ready to repent quickly. I didn't hear Moses and Aaron repenting. Did you hear anything about them repenting? The teaching is going around in the world. Christians are not called to repentance. Their sins are already forgiven, so they don't have to repent. Foolish teachings going on in our world. Been swallowed hook, line, and sinker by those who are going to perish. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, bring them up onto Mount Hor. Bring them to this mountaintop. And strip Aaron of his garments. Because as long as he was holding on to that priesthood as a high priest, that grace protected him from death. He had to have those garments taken off of him before he could die. Put them upon Eleazar, his son, as a transfer. And this is the time of the transfer. Some very key people. Let me put a disclaimer here. Not everybody that is going to go home this year has been rebellious. So don't be looking at people. But God knows who he's going to take out. Because they have ceased to be the voice of God. They might still be preaching the word, but they've already gone off track. And God is going to harvest them. He's going to take them out. They're going to be young people, old people, middle age, just well-known people. It's just going to be taken out. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? Don't worry about what happened. Keep your eyes focused on the altar and the finish of your faith and keep on going. God will deal with them. I don't think Aaron went to hell. But God disciplined him. God disciplined Moses too. He told them both. You're out of here. Because God is not a respecter of persons. I'm the pastor. God won't do that to me. Excuse me? He might just do that to you first. Because he wants his people protected. He loves his sons and his daughters. And he doesn't want them mismanaged. We need a fear of God in the house of God again. Stop playing games. Garments transferred, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. He died at the mountaintop of Hor. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he went up unto Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days. Even all the house of Israel, they mourned for 30 days. This is a sideline. Many years ago, I was ministering right in the church. And as I was ministering, I had an altar call. One of the few times that I do altar calls, I had an altar call. And I was praying for people and coming through. I came to a lady that was standing just about there. Never seen her before. And so I started to pray for her. The Lord says, cast out the spirit of grief from this woman. I said, the spirit of grief. What's going on? The Lord says, ask her what died. So I asked her, I said, what died? She said, my dog. The dog died. I said, Lord, her dog died. He said, the Lord says to me, he says, yes, her dog died a long time ago. And she was mourning the dog. And when she went past the 30th point, 30th day, the spirit of grief came in. And the spirit of grief has since then been killing everything around her. He said to me that day, he said, when you lose somebody, and this is for somebody, this is why I'm talking about this right now. This is for somebody, please get this. It says, when you lose somebody or something very important, yes, you should mourn because they are no longer there. It says, but you must not go past 30 days. I said, you just switch it off like that? He said, no, I'll tell you. Deal with this lady. So I cast out that spirit off of her and I continued my conversation with the Lord. I said, exactly what do we need to do? He said, well, if when you go past the 30-day point, the spirit of grief comes in and begins to kill everything. I said, so what is the solution? He says, this is what you need to do. Mourn, but celebrate. Celebrate that which was good, that which you benefited from while you had that person or that thing. Be thankful. He says, by the time you get to 30 days, the spirit of God's joy will have filled you through, and the spirit of grief will not be able to take a hold of you. He says, but if you go past 30 days on your own, the spirit of grief, it will kill your marriage. You listening? It will kill your business. It will kill relationships, and you're going to go into a state of depression. Not because you're trying to be depressed, Because the spirit of grief is working, because the spirit of grief feeds on grief. So, cut it off. And if grief is operating in your life right now, cut it off. Tell that thing, you cannot stay. You have no place in my life. Get out. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop there tonight. For the next few moments, I want us to pray. The woman of God that shared with us last night said she was going to send some prayer points. And I think it lines up very well with what I've been sharing with you tonight. So we're going to take each prayer point quickly. And we're going to spend a minute or so on each one and go on to the next. Amen? First prayer point. We declare that in 2022, this is the year that we'll put our gaze back on Jesus. We'll look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. And we will not turn away. We will not turn away. Moses and Aaron and the people of God turned away. And they came from Kadesh to Hor. And there, Aaron died. This year, we are not going to turn away. We are going to go. The word of God says, make the way of the Lord straight. God is a way maker. He's going to cut through mountains, through valleys, through oceans, through whatever is in the way. We are going to look at the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're going to move in synchronized, harmonious continuity with Him. Amen? Rise, let us pray. The prayer point is on the screen. Just talk to the Lord. Declare, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, so shall it be. Hallelujah. Just declare right now, this year, I will not turn away from God's purposes. I will continue with my Lord, worshiping in spirit and in truth, looking unto the author and finisher of my faith. My gaze is on the Lord, and I'm being changed, even now, from glory unto glory. Unto glory, as I look unto my Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Second thing, we decree and declare that we'll follow closely, we'll follow the Lord. Therefore, we will not miss our day of visitation. We're going to follow through with God and not miss our day of visitation. Amen? Hallelujah. We will follow closely and not miss our day of visitation. Talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the grace of God to continue, the grace of God to march in step with you all the way. Lord, oh God, not dragging behind, but Father, oh God, pursuing after you with all of our hearts, worshiping, blessing your holy name, not embracing offenses, But in the spirit of obedience, do that which you are calling us to do. Your word said about Caleb that because he had another spirit in him, he followed you wholly. Lord, oh God, let us have that spirit that causes us to follow wholeheartedly. Bless in your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Third prayer point. We declare this year that we have great expectations and we have divine power to sustain us until the manifestation. Therefore, we will not retreat. Amen. We have great expectations and we have divine power to sustain us. Many years ago, the Lord asked me a question about hope. What is hope? Because he's asked me so many questions in the past, and I gave him the standard answer and found out I was wrong. I said, Lord, I don't know. What is it? He said to me, hope is that space in time between when you receive the word of faith and the manifestation of it. It's a space in time where whatever it is God said is being processed for you to receive the manifestation. Hope is that time period when God is making you ready to fulfill the mandate. So we're going to ask God now for that divine power that sustains between the time we heard the word of God and the manifestation of the word. Amen? So that we are not going every which way, double-minded. Pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your ability that sustains us. Receive that supernatural ability right now. And we cleave unto you and unto your word. We thank you, Lord, O God, that you're taking us from the place where we receive the word of faith through, O God, the process of hope to the manifestation. And Lord, O God, this in-between place, may we not embrace unforgiveness and offenses, but rather may we humble ourselves under the mighty hands of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. For we declare that greater opportunities, greater anointing, and greater connections are heading our way. Nothing or no one can stop it. Greater opportunities, greater anointing, and greater connections. These are all elements of what God wants to do for us this year. Amen? We move with opportunities, but we receive the anointing and the ability to utilize these opportunities. It is frustrating for you to have an opportunity and you don't have the necessary tools to go through it. So we want all that we need to capitalize on every opportunity to the glory of God. Amen? Pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the anointing made available to go through every open door that you have ordained for us. No distractions. We receive the ability of God. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for the ability to go through the experiences that are going to happen in our world and to see the opportunities embedded on God in those situations to take spoil and to exalt your exalted name, Most High. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We decree that we have entered into the rest of God. Therefore, I'm content, I'm trusting, and I'm at peace. Hallelujah. We come into the rest of God. When we come into this rest of God, it is that place where we recognize that we are in true partnership with God, not worrying, not fretting, not overwhelmed by circumstances, but being attentive. You see, God works by words. Hallelujah. When He created this universe, He did it by words spoken. May we hear God, because that's the place of our rest. Hear God clearly and declare the word of the Lord. Pray. Thank you, Father, for the grace and the anointing to rest. To rest to God in obedience to your word. To rest to God because we've heard you. To rest to God because we, having heard you, are saying what we have heard of you. And Lord, oh God, as you speak into us, you will speak through us the manifestations of your will. Thank you for the glorious things that you are doing now in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sixth item, we declare in 2022, as God is faithful to me, I am faithful to Him. Praise God. Therefore, I will stay in partnership and I will remain in covenant with God. Hallelujah. Remember this, and I'm going to build on this particular subject in the days to come. Remember this. You've heard me say this before. When we're talking about the faithfulness of God towards us, faithfulness of God means that God will not allow you and I to go through an experience that is beyond our ability to handle. But with every trial, with every temptation, He provides a way of escape. Faithfulness is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You're not going to hit rough waters and God forsakes you and says, you're on your own now. Faithfulness of God does not mean that you never have problems. It means that in spite of the problems, you will come through to the other side. Better and greater, because you are walking with Him. Jesus was in the boat when the waters were busy pouring into the boat. But if they only had learned how to rest in obedience to the word of God and speak themselves as His representatives, they wouldn't have come to Him offended. Don't you care? Jesus got up and rebuked the storm and the wind and says, what's your problem? You could have taken care of this. We are going to be a people of faith in partnership with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. You are totally faithful. And Lord of God, we receive grace to be faithful, to be steadfast in faith, unwavering, not double-minded, but Lord of God, committed to your divine purposes, pursuing after you, because we know the importance of partnership. Lord, we receive grace to partner with you in every area of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. 7, we declare that after January 2022, my life has gone to higher heights, deeper depths, and greater understanding. Therefore, I will operate and live out of a higher consciousness. Praise God. I will see and embrace greater possibilities. I will exercise my faith and experience my abundant life. In other words, as we have committed January as a first fruit unto the Lord, the full impact and benefits that God has will secure and sanctify the rest of the year for us. Yes, there will be troubles in the world, but that's not my portion. Amen? Hallelujah. God will make a way where there's no way. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for a higher consciousness. Lord, oh God, a consciousness that makes me, oh God, at all times to be aware of your presence, to be aware, oh God, of the integrity of your word, to know, God, beyond a shadow of a doubt that things are not out of control, but everything is brought into order. Lord, oh God, let the spirit of strife, oh God, that brings about the waters of Meribah, Lord, oh God, not be part of our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cry out, oh God, to you now to help us, oh God, walk in divine obedience, following your instructions, and coming out stronger, greater, better than we've ever been. In Jesus' name we call it so done. Hallelujah. Item 8, I declare that the greater one lives on the inside of me, therefore the great I am shows up in me. I am. Mention your name. Michael. Ephesino, a child of the Most High God, and the greater one lives inside of me. Pray that prayer right now with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, that you, the greater one, lives in me. Therefore, I am not subject to the mandates of the enemy. I'm not subject to the activities and the actions and the strategies of the enemy. For all things are made subject to me this day by the authority of your word. You reign supreme in this son, Michael Ephesino, to do extraordinary things in this last of the last days. I bless your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name, I call it so done. Amen. Hallelujah. Item 9. I declare this year I will take my rightful place in my church, in God's kingdom, and in my life. This is so important because the Lord has taught us that for us to serve is a privilege, and that is accomplished because God has favored us. If you don't have an interest to serve in the capacities in the house of God, you're not in favor. I wish I could tell you differently. Your service in God, in the house of God, is an act of God favoring you so that he can reward you. Amen? So pray this prayer and just declare, thank you, Father, that I'm taking my rightful place in your church and in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that I'm properly positioned to serve you and serve your people in the spirit of truth, knowing, O God, that you are faithful, who's called me and ordained me to be a servant of righteousness, a preacher of truth. Blessed be your holy name. I take my rightful place in this local church and in the global church at large. In Jesus' name, amen. Item 10 will be done shortly. Item 10. I declare that in 2022 that I am on God's path, in God's word, doing God's will, and serving God's people. Therefore, my priority is God. My passion is God. My strength is God. And my life is God. In essence, God, you are my everything. You are my all. Talk to Father right now. Let this be the year that you will know God like you've never known him before. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that there are ways and places that you are going to take me to. Lord, oh God, that you're going to reveal yourself. Oh, Father, in my life, because you are number one. You are everything to me. And Lord, oh God, that my pursuit, oh God, be for you all of my days. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are the reward of those who diligently seek you. May my priority be you. My passion be you, Lord. My strength and my life be about you. That I am undeterred, no matter what, to do that which is right in your sight. Amen. Item 11. I declare and decree that I will allow God to finish his work that he started. Therefore, I yield my will. I surrender my life. And I will cooperate and partner with the perfect will of God. Stop there. That last statement we're going to finish with. Pray that prayer right now. Declare and decree. I declare and I decree, hallelujah, that I will allow you, O God, to finish your work in me. You started and you will complete it. I yield my will and I surrender my life to you, author and the finish of my faith. I thank you, Lord God, that you're in full charge, full control. And Lord, O God, that I walk, O God, obediently before you, knowing, O God, that your faithfulness is establishing me in righteousness and in truth. Blessed be your holy name. And finally, pray, I am ready. Praise God. I am ready to be used of God. I am ready to be sent by God. I am ready to give unto the Lord. I'm ready to live a life honorable. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for everything that you want done. I declare this day, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to do your will, to live your God kind of life. I am ready to prophesy. I am ready to pronounce healings and deliverances. I am ready to testify of your goodness in the land of the living. I am ready to worship in spirit and in truth. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. We're going to release by faith that which God has spoken to us about, and obediently do what he has pronounced for us to do. Just do that now. And may I remind you that the Lord has asked for a very special offering on the 22nd of January. That special offering is an offering of 2022. I pray that many of us will be able to raise up our faith to give in that level. But if you are not there, God knows what you are capable of doing, then go to that level of 222. Just do that. Trust God for that. Believe God for that. And he will bring the necessary resources for you to do so. It seems to me that part of the reason why God has given us a head start on that is that for many, this might be something that they need to wrestle into place. And just obey God's instruction, and you will receive the full impact of the benefits of that. And if you are not able to do that, you're a child, do $20 and 25 cents, and God will honor that. If you're doing it online and you want to do it as $20 and 22 cents, that's fine. Online, you can give, still give in cents. Amen? But if you give in cash, you know, because we don't deal with pennies anymore or cents anymore here in Canada. The smallest coin at this point is a nickel or 5 cents, then do $20 and 25 cents. But just let it be a time of participating, and I encourage everyone to take on a particular aspect. I will share more with about this in the days to come. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have we all given? Okay. I believe the instruction for how to give must have been on your screens. Those who are at home, to do your e-transfers, and if you want to mail it in, you can do so. But just obey God in your giving. Rise with me as we take off this body. This is the body of the Lord. It was a body that demonstrated total obedience to the Father's will. As we take off this body and we eat, may that same grace and that same ability to obey work in us and through us. Take and eat. In Jesus' name. This is the blood. The blood sanctified for our healing, our deliverance, our peace. The blood that causes us to be unstoppable. As we take off this cup, may God's ability flow in us and through us. It causes us to do extraordinary things in this last of the last days to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, take off this cup and drink. Praise God. We're thankful for what God has done and continues to do in our lives. As we step and we go home today, let us know that the hand of God is upon our lives. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning for the service in the AM, being Sunday, and also in the evening at 6:30. All the services in the evening are all at 6:30 throughout this month. Amen? Raise your hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that our hands are lifted up to you, that your blessings have been bestowed upon our lives. This night, I ask, O God, that we have a true fear, the fear of God that causes us to be reverential, to do what we ought to do, and to live the way we ought to live. We receive your ability, Lord Jesus, and we step into our rightful place, glorifying you, magnifying you, and testifying of your goodness. Let your blessings abide. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you. Have a great evening. Drive safely. And see you tomorrow morning. Let me just have a quick